welcome once again to Giants Post Game Live, everybody, presented by Mercedes-Benz, your luxury automobile of your New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. As the saying goes, all good things must come to an end. Giants win streak ends at 6 in Pittsburgh today with a 24-14 loss to the Steelers. How you doing, everyone? I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my colleagues today, Sean O'Hara, Roman Ohman, and Amani Toomer. And guys, to me, it wasn't so much that they lost the game. They're not going to win every game, but I just thought it was a flat performance from the get-go.
Yeah, especially on the offense. You know, we sat here last week, Russ, and I mentioned the slow start by the Giants offense last week. They were able to battle back because it was a bad team. But now you're playing a better team. And for the offense to come out here in their first three possessions, a punt, a safety, and a turnover, the red zone offense really struggled and really put the defense, all the pressure on the defense because the offense just did not play well.
Guys, we know at this time of the season, the game's a little more meaningful. The inability to start fast on the road, I think, was a challenge. You talk about the safety, Sean. You talk about the turnovers. Going for it on fourth down, when maybe you should have taken a point. So there are a lot of things you can dissect about this game, but you know that this Steelers team, going into this place, hostile environment, all things you say about being on the road, that this was a team that Ben Roethlisberger was a better quality of quarterback than what they've seen the last couple of weeks, but they just didn't play they didn't play well at certain critical moments that could have helped the defense out, especially on the offensive side.
Hey, you're right. The quality of competition is what I really think that you're hitting on really well. They played like they were playing against the Cleveland Browns this weekend. They didn't step up to the competition of playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We know this team was struggling. Pittsburgh Steelers were trying to get their season back together. And this is a real launching pad for them. And so for the New York Giants not to understand that this is more of a playoff type of scenario because you're playing a much higher quality caliber team, you're going to have to play better. And the interception by Eli, his play overall seemed a little bit flat. He was off. And I think that all that combined with the defense all of a sudden not stopping the run really turned the tide of this game. Didn't allow that offense to get back on the field and turn it back towards the Giants' favor.
It just seems so predictable. We knew every time, all right, they're going to try to throw the ball to Odell. It was forcing a throw. Odell on a slant. Odell on a quick out. And you mentioned the Steelers, right? This Steelers team, you could see their desperation. They knew this was their season. Baltimore beat Miami, so Pittsburgh knew they had to have this game if they wanted to keep their postseason hopes alive. And coming into this game, I thought, hey, you know what? This is a pretty good matchup for the Giants defense, because when you look at the Giants defense since week 7, and we've got some great stats right here to show you how good the Giants defense has been since week 7. They're number one in the NFL. They're the most improved scoring defense, first of all. They're giving up 8.2 points per game less than last season. They were number one in a number of different categories. Starting off with points per game, they're giving up 16.4 since week 7. On third down, they were number one at 29.6. They had 8 interceptions, which was best in the NFL. They added another interception by Eli Apple and the passer rating. And then they were number two in sacks. So this defense was doing a great job, but the offense could not help them out. And losing JPP was really, you could see Olivier Vernon, it was basically a one-man pass rush show after that, and the defense couldn't hold up there under the bargain.
Yeah, you saw some push on the inside, Snacks and Hankins, obviously, and JPP, when he went out, it was really Olivier Vernon, the only one providing pressure on the outside. I mean, Wynn did an admirable job. He's one of the harder-working guys on the team, but you just couldn't get Roethlisberger down. You saw Ben Roethlisberger a lot more comfortable in the pocket than you saw Eli Manning. When you look at the tail of two offensive lines.
There were a couple sacks in there, but he had time for most of the day.
Yeah, he actually. You didn't see Eli Manning consistently step up into the pocket and throw the ball downfield because how much the pocket was collapsing.
But let's go from the defense to the offensive line. And even during the 6-game winning streak, the offensive line we've spoken about it. It has had its struggles. Today, there were some very key penalties. I don't know if it's ever at an opportune time, but this was at the most inopportune times.
Yeah, Ereck Flowers really just had a horrible game today. And, the holding penalty in the end zone, which started off the scoring, give the 2-point safety. And then there were countless other times where there was a big play by Odell Beckham, and he had a holding penalty that negated that penalty to stop pretty much the first half flow single-handedly with his poor play. And, it's funny because he was doing so well last year. Everybody's talking about how good of a left tackle he was as a rookie and has regressed. And, and it's shocking to see how a player who came in showing some promise comes back his rookie, his second year, and has that second year sophomore slump.
Well, let's ask the offensive lineman here, guys. You know, in a situation when you're backed up near your end zone or within your five-yard line, is that something that you have to talk about consciously? Somebody's got to remind somebody, hey, guys, make sure we don't get a holding penalty here because it could be 2 points.
As a tackle, you have nightmares the night before the game, two nights before the game.
Pick up with the sweat.
On the goal line, I don't want a holding call. I've been in that position. I've had a holding call in the NLD. In the end zone, slam the guy on the ground, trying to be physical, 2 points, and they get the ball. And we're playing against the Steelers. We lost 9-7. I think we were in Cleveland together. But from a technical standpoint, he's bending at the waist. He's not attacking. He's not setting the line of scrimmage. You look at a guy like James Harris, who's hard to block because he's a shorter guy. He plays a lot of leverage. He was getting underneath him. I mean, making that pocket. As you know, the tackles are supposed to keep the pocket wide. Centers and guards control the depth of that pocket. You saw a pocket collapse like the letter U, and where you almost couldn't see Eli Manning inside that pocket. And, Sean, you probably saw some of the same things inside as well.
You know, this game really, what it did was it just basically exposed some of the bad play that they've been able to overcome over the last couple weeks on this six-game win streak. Look, they played the Browns, the Bengals, and the Bears. They were able to overcome it because those teams aren't that good.
Yes.
Now, all of a sudden, those flaws, they show up. And to your point, Russ, as any offensive lineman, you have to have awareness. You know where you are on the field at all times. When you're in the end zone, certainly you can't have a holding penalty in there. You know what it means that there's a safety coming there. John Jerry had a bad holding penalty. But the thing that you have to wonder is, at some point, when you have guys that continue to commit penalties, where's the accountability? And at some point, as a coach, do I have to wonder, all right, do I have to sit a guy? Am I going to have to bench somebody now to get through to them so they understand, listen, there is consequences for your action. If you're going to continue to get penalties and hurt our team, we're going to have to do something to make sure that you – correct those things.
Yeah, Sean, we talked about this earlier. I saw you, McKenzie, Deal, Sneed, Seibert. I saw how you guys were in the huddle. We started some of that earlier on, Pettigrew, all those before you guys. But I don't know what the conversations are like in the huddle. Are they getting each other's faces? Are they jacking each other up? I mean, the things that you say anecdotally as a football player, but that actually works.
Yeah.
When you don't want to get embarrassed because you don't want to let the guy down next to you, that means something. I don't know
if I knew because I'm looking at Tomb in the huddle, and I'm like, hey, man, this guy's busting his butt. You know, like, I'm not going to let you down.
And when you look at guys who, you know, the perception is they're not coachable or they're not listening, one thing that'll get players right is sitting on the bench. Because if you're making a lot of money sitting on the bench, you know that's not a sustainable you're not going to be making that many more checks.
Everybody's looking at you.
All right, from here at the Quest Center, what do you say we now go back to Heinz Field, check in with Paul Dottino and Jonathan Casillas.
Jonathan, it had been a 14-7 game there, and I guess the Steelers drove about 90 yards there on that touchdown that made it a two-score game. What happened on that drive? It seemed to be a backbreaker for you.
Yeah, man, you know, they got good players. You know, 26, one of the best in the league. You know, Ben's a, you know, two-time Super Bowl winner. You know, they got a good O-line. You know, they was leaning on us a little bit. You know, I think, I don't know if we were undisciplined that drive. I would have to look at the film. But, I mean, you know, it's a good back there, you know.
You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you knew coming in he was a dual threat and he was going to be a huge problem. Was he even more of an issue than you thought he would be?
No, not really. I mean, he broke a couple runs a little later in the game. You know, the last drive, he got some yardage on us. I mean, but, you know, he's a good back. You know, whenever, you know, you're not getting off the field, you know, you let him keep getting them carries. The drive extends, not getting off the field on third down. He's getting more and more carries, you know. It ends up happening that way.
The six-game winning streak is over. Any lack of confidence? Any hit in the armor here?
No, sir. We got Dallas next week. That's all we worry about.
Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, back to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Paul and Jonathan. So, guys, let me ask you this. You know, that you can all say the right stuff, but does this affect confidence going into a big game next Sunday night over at MetLife Stadium against the first-place 11-1 Dallas Cowboys?
No, we talked about this last week. You got to play your best football 5 weeks after Thanksgiving. This is week 2 after Thanksgiving. Obviously, the Cowboys had 9 weeks rest, and we'll talk about that later in the segment. But these games are meaningful, and you shake this one off. It was an AFC game. It wasn't a divisional game. But now you have to win next week. Next week is must-win. Detroit's must-win. Last two divisional games on the road, those are all must-wins. But it starts next week.
All right. Back to Heinz Field. Let's check again with Paul Dottino, this time with Paul Perkins.
Well, Paul, the 100-yard rushing game streak has ended here today. This defense seemed to be a heck of a lot tougher than maybe they looked on film.
Yeah, they're definitely a top-tier defense. They definitely came out to play.
What was the most difficult thing about trying to read what they were doing?
I mean, they're good athletes, man. The guys, some of their stuff is real nice. We just got to get the ball rolling.
Now, at the same time, you did have a couple of decent runs there in the second half. Looked like you were trying to provide a spark. What kind of flavor was this game to kind of prepare you for the playoffs when that does come around?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely playoff football. In December, we have to make the plays where we need to make the plays and beat teams where we need to beat teams.
Paul, thanks very much. All right, back to you guys.
All right, Jonathan and Paul Perkins, thank you very much. Got a lot more coming up, folks, so stay right where you are. Let's now, though, take care of some business. Giant fans, you want to remember to make sure you go to Adorama.com/Giants to win yourselves a VAIOZ Canvas 12.3-inch touchscreen 2-in-1 notebook computer. Got that right? Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. We've got Ben McAdoo's press conference coming up. So, again, stay right where you are. You are watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Guys, let's take a look at the NFC East standings. And there's Dallas 11-1, which, by the way, the Cowboys clinch a playoff berth this afternoon, and followed by the Giants 8-4. Good news, Washington loses, as do the Eagles. So there you have it.
No harm, no foul.
But again, you want to be playing better, as everybody said earlier on at this juncture in the season. And again, you know, we've heard Coach McAdoo say, we can't worry about anybody else. We have to take care of our own business. And I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think for McAdoo, he's really got to be looking at this offense saying, all right, we've got to start pulling our weight. We've got to start doing more. They have not scored 30 points in a game yet this season. Last year, they did it 5 times. They're one of 6 teams that hasn't done that. And I think part of the reason why McAdoo got this job was because of the scoring offense. Yeah. So now you're looking and you're saying, all right, look, we didn't have Victor Cruz last year. We didn't have Sterling Shepard. We have more weapons. We should be scoring more points. That hasn't transitioned. They've got to get that figured out if they want to take this next step. And really, you know, it's not just about, hey, do we want to make the playoffs? You've got a chance to make some noise with how good this defense is playing. The offense has got to, they've got to carry their weight.
All right. Well, we'll get back to this discussion in a bit. Right now, let's go back to Heinz Field, Paul Dottino, and Howard Cross. Guys.
Thanks very much, guys. And, you know, this Giants team did have its lethargic issues early in the game as the Steelers really seemed to steal the momentum from the get-go. Giants tried to get a spark there at one point when they cut it to 14-7. But ultimately, Howard, the self-inflicted wounds, the 2 turnovers and the offensive line issues, really too much for the Giants to overcome.
Yeah, you know, that was just part of it, though. You know, they couldn't get over themselves a little bit. Ben Roethlisberger scrambles out of the pocket, and all of a sudden, you know, the DB starts to look at Ben and doesn't follow the guy. They get the ball down the field to the tight end. That's a big play. If that play doesn't happen, all of a sudden, you know, it's a different game. The interception down in the end zone, going into the end zone, big play for the Giants. Those are points that are coming off the board or opportunity for points. Now, again, the Steelers are the number one red zone defense
in
the league. But we got to find a way to make plays when we get down there. For the Giants, you know, no harm, no foul, so to speak. But you got to make plays.
Well, you know, you talk about scoring points. The 14 points ties the Giants' lowest output of the season. They had 14 also against the Vikings in Minnesota. That is not going to get it done. Third down, they really had their troubles. And quite honestly, again, Howard, when we're talking about the pass rush, it picked up for the Steelers because they knew the Giants couldn't run the ball. Giants didn't even run for 60 yards this night.
I think that's kind of odd, though, because when they did run the ball, they'd have some 4-yard pops, some 5-yard pops, some 6-yard pops, and they'd have a minus play. But when you're having positive plays like that, that's what happens.
Now, we talk about some of the big plays. You know, we knew that Bell was going to be a very significant part of the Steelers' offense, whether it be rushing or passing, Howard. And he certainly leaked out a lot of times to make big plays underneath. How do you deal with a guy like that? We thought coming in that the Giants were going to focus on him, but it just didn't work.
Hey, nobody in the league is going to be able to stop him if he wants to get loose. He's doing a good job. He's able to, bounce around and dance behind the line of scrimmage and break it out. And then all of a sudden, if he catches the ball out in the flat, like in a screen situation, it's almost impossible to get a guy on him. He makes a couple moves and he's gone. That's the thing that you're worried about, is him being out in space, and he made it happen a lot.
Yeah, between Bell and Ladarius Green, it was a big, big problem for the Giants. Hey, let's go to head coach Ben McAdoo. He's addressing the media down the hall.
All right, tough night at the office. We know that's not good enough. I got to do a better job getting these guys ready to play. We have to rebound fast, but give credit to the Steelers. They played a good game. Let's open it up.
Just your general thoughts of the offense just not being able to get untracked and what you thought was behind it?
Yeah, we were behind in field position early in the ball game. Then we got some good field position. Penalties and unopportune times. We need to take advantage of the field position. I thought we had some things out there, but again, we'll take a look at it on film.
What is your overall level of concern with the offense?
Just consistency. You know, we need to play more consistent. We need to, take care of the ball better. That showed up again today, two turnovers. One of them was, on fourth down, but take care of the ball and play with more consistency.
Did Eli seem to be pressing a little bit, maybe just forcing a couple of his throws tonight?
Maybe on some fourth downs, but we'll take a look at the film.
Do you have any theories? I mean, we're 12 games into the season now. Why your offense hasn't been able to really be consistent for a long stretch this season?
Well, we are who we are right now, and we need to go back to work. You can't just flip a switch and have things change. You have to put work into it, and it has to pay dividends for you.
You concerned that it might not happen now? I mean, you're kind of running out of time.
No, I'm not. We're working at it.
What was the issue on Eli's first interception, the one that targeted Denell in the end zone?
I'll take a look at the film, see what happened. We had a one-on-one matchup there. We had a chance to hit Larry up the alley, but we'll take a look at it on tape.
When Odell has one target in the first half, but I think maybe 13 or 14 in the second, is that a result of you guys figuring something out about their coverage and excluding it? Are you emphasizing that coming out of halftime?
It's the way the ball game went. We try to put him in positions where he's going to be featured or the primary receiver in a lot of the things we do. So it just went that way in the second half.
Ben, did you get an explanation why they picked up the flag when Will Ty got hit?
Said it was they threw it for pass interference and the ball was uncatchable.
You had a lot of trouble with their tight ends. What was the cause of that?
As far as...
Well, they had a lot of yards.
Their tight ends. They have some talent there, some talented players. They had some matchups on us, and they converted. A couple of them were misdirection type passes where they're going to pump and fake a screen underneath and then throw one over the top, and they made some nice plays there on us.
Does the fact that Shepherd had no targets last week, Cruz has none this week, is that indicative of a lack of consistency or a lack of efficiency?
We weren't efficient. We need to be more efficient. And again, we'll go back and we'll take a look at it.
Ben, when Eli has a day like he had today, which wasn't good, I mean, can you guys win if he plays that way?
He turned the ball over twice. I thought he hung in the pocket and he battled. The one turnover on fourth down. If he could have got a little more mustard on the ball, we had a chance for a big play, but that's tough running to the right and throwing back across your body. But if we can run the ball a little bit better and complete the ball a little bit better, it's going to increase our chances to win.
Do you have any idea, JPP, how serious that might be, the injury?
I do not. No, we'll have to do further testing.
How's Cody sensible? I heard he went to the hospital.
I haven't. I've heard a little bit back. I heard it's not something that's tremendously serious, so. Looks like we're out of the woods there, but we'll have to find out more.
We'll travel back with you.
All right, head coach Ben McAdoo. Guys, listen, we've been hearing all about this three-headed monster from the get-go, the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, and Sterling Shepard. Shep didn't get any targets last week. And today, number 80, Victor doesn't get any targets. Amani, how's that happen?
I think it's
I know he said circumstantial, but...
Yeah, but you can't go into a game with one of your best players not being in the plan. Obviously, you look at how Odell Beckham Jr. did early on, and he looked like he got a little off to a slow start. You need to make sure that to make this offense and to make Odell Beckham Jr. more effective, you have to have other people contribute as well. You can't, on a third down and long, know that the ball is going to Odell Beckham Jr. or the defense is just going to surround him and the ball's not going anywhere else. And then if you're gonna throw the ball to someone else, I'd rather throw it to Victor Cruz. I'd rather throw it to Shepard. Will Ty, great player. But I'm telling you, on that fourth down, I'm not going to Wiltie. I'm going to either Cruz or Shepard. Those are it should be a very strict order on where the ball goes, because you want to get the ball in the ball in the hand of your best players. You don't. And Wiltie, fantastic player. He's not one of the best players on the Giants. And I think if your offense isn't set up organized that way, you need to rethink your offense.
Odell only had one target and one catch in the first half. But when you come into the game, you know Odell's going to get the ball. You know he's a focal point. But guess what? You knew Le'Veon Bell was a focal point for the Steelers.
he still had,
you know, six or eight catches. Yeah. They got him open in screens. They found a way to get him the football in space. You've got to do that with Odell. You've got to do that with Victor. You've got to do that with Sterling. You've got to create ways. And they're not doing that.
They used their best player the best way possible. They gave him the ball as many times as they possibly could. All right, we got a lot more coming up. We're going to hear from quarterback Eli Manning about his afternoon. Remember, you're watching Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz. Fans right here for you on MSG. All right, welcome once again, folks, back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, your official luxury automobile of the Giants. Right now, though, let's go back to Heinz Field, check in with Eli Manning at the podium.
How tough it was.
Yeah, you know, I thought it really came down to those two red zone trips where we got no points off. Obviously, the interception, and then the fourth down. So that was the difference. It was tough out there, but we got down there, and we've been really good at scoring touchdowns. Lately, I think the last three or four games we've been 100% scoring touchdowns, and then today, not just scoring touchdowns, but not getting anything on two drives. So that was. That was kind of the game right there.
Any level of frustration on your end?
You're always frustrated after a game when you only score, we don't score enough points. So not in the sense. Thought we did some good things. Thought got down there, made some tough plays, kept competing. We just didn't make enough plays and didn't make the plays in critical moments of the game.
What happened on the first interception?
Just tried to squeeze it in there. It's good, good play. Lawrence Timmons, he's played a long time, made a lot of plays. So tried to, thought I could get it high enough to Larry Donnell and kind of put it on that back shoulder a little bit. As he's got a seam route, and Lawrence just got a little wider than I thought, and thought I could get it there. So obviously any interception is a bad decision. So obviously it hurts when it takes away points.
Eli, are you and Victor not on the same page? Seems like a lot of these games either ends up with one catch today, doesn't have a target. Is there something there?
No, just depends on what defenses are doing and what's going on, just on where he ends up lined up sometimes. So I got total confidence in Victor, and it's just a matter of sometimes he might be the second or third progression on certain things and not be able to. Get through everything.
Eli, we looked a lot at the level of competition, the level of teams you played against in the 6-game winning streak. Is it a little concerning? It was a little step up against the Steelers, and now you have the Cowboys next. I mean, are you concerned? Are you guys good enough to compete?
Yeah, no, we're good enough to compete. I think, again, like I said, it's just a matter of those couple plays difference or a couple inches difference today and not getting possible touchdowns, instead of no points. So it's I say it's a game of inches. It's kind of truly the case there. So, we got to improve. We got to get better at some things. We got better third down, but we're good enough to compete. Defense is playing well. Offense, we're gonna make our plays. We're gonna hit some big plays, and we just got to take advantage of when we get down the red zone and scoring points.
All right, quarterback Eli Manning asked if he and Victor Cruz are on the same page. Now, I don't believe that has anything to do with it, because last week it was Sterling Shepard. Nobody asked if he and Sterling were on the same page. But the circumstances, you were talking about it before, I just don't understand. As we said, we're talking about a three-headed monster. They all got to get into the mix.
Well, if you look at this offense, and I've been in West Coast offense in Tampa, and I understand conceptually what they're trying to do, and when everything's working, You don't know who's going to be hot. It could be Will Tye down the middle. It could be Donnell. It could be some checkdowns down the backfield. So over the course of the season, everyone does get their touches. But again, when you start second-guessing yourself or start saying, should this guy have gotten the ball, I think my concern was the frustration by Odell Beckham when he kept throwing his hands up in the air waiting for a flag. I mean, that shows that he was almost out of the was taking himself mentally out of the game plan. Not the Odell we saw 4 or 5 weeks ago. He's matured since then. But, again, you want to focus on the play that's being called. If you get the ball, you don't. If you get the call, you don't. We know these Pittsburgh Steelers secondary is very physical. That's always been the case. The refs let them play. And I think later on you started seeing some calls. But, again, I think you just had to stay focused. And I'm glad that Eli Manning answered the way that he did. No, there's not a problem with me and Victor Cruz. No, we will be ready to compete next week against Dallas, and that's what a leader does.
Well, there's a situation also that I we know that there's not a problem, but I think everybody's waiting for this high-potent offense that we have yet to see
this season. You're playing Pittsburgh in December. It's going to be these kind of games, and we can't, you know, fans this week can't second-guess. Yeah. Last week it was Shepard. This week it's Victor Cruz.
All right, well, we've got a lot more coming up, folks, so stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live right here on MSG. But first, let's take care of some business. Guests of our post game show receive a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's, located on Fifth Avenue at 28th Street in Manhattan. We're talking about from the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere. Ben and Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. We just heard from Eli Manning. Coming up, you'll hear from Eli Apple. So stay right where you are. Again, you're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. All right, welcome back once again, everybody, to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here for you on MSG. What do you say we now go back to Heinz Field, this time check in with Paul Dottino and Eli Apple.
Well, thanks, guys. Now, Eli, I know you wanted your first interception of being a Giants win, because I know you're a team player, but nonetheless, that had to be pretty exciting. You almost had one the other day, last week, and it wound up being out of bounds, but this one counted.
Right, yeah, it was good. Felt good to get that interception, and it was a surreal moment. I was just trying to make a play for the team and change the momentum a little bit, but, you know, still ended up losing. But just got to make the necessary corrections for the next game, and that's something we're going to do.
There were a number of times where I thought the momentum did kind of switch a little bit in this game, certainly when you guys got the touchdown to make it 14-7. But then they had that, like, 90-yard touchdown drive that really seemed to take the steam out of you.
Yeah, that was a big drive, and we just can't have things like that. We have to get them off the field and get our offense back out there. And, you know, most of the stuff out that happened in the draft was just miscommunication or just bad eyes out on in the perimeter or whatever. So we're going to have to fix that.
All right. We talked about Bell coming in, a dual threat. Ladarius Green really turned out to be a real big weapon for them today. What kind of problem was he as a tight end?
He's a fast dude. And, he has great speed for a big guy. And he also has a big body, so he can kind of, you know, body you out. And we just got to do a better job of, you know, limiting big plays. And he had a couple of big plays, and he was definitely a good player for him.
Final question. Everybody came into this week talking about how this is like pseudo-playoff kind of games. Could you feel the difference in the energy and the intensity? Is this kind of what you think the playoffs might feel like if you guys were able to get there?
For sure. Just the atmosphere, you know, the big plays out there. We know that we have to make sure we do our best to limit big plays and also make big plays on our end as well. But, you know, it was a great playoff environment. It was great playing here. We just got to, you know, limit the mistakes, you know, the mental stuff.
Eli Apple, thanks so much for your time. Congratulations on your first pro pick.
Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul Dottino and Eli Apple. So, guys, going into next week, you know, obviously today was a lousy loss. Not any loss was a good one, but today was a bad performance. How much does that affect their confidence, and do they stay pumped up going into next week? Because certainly the stakes are sky high.
Oh, well, they're going to be fired up, no doubt about it. The game's on Sunday Night Football. It's the Cowboys. They're going to be fired up. I think they're going to be upset the fact that they gave up their first 100-yard rusher. And Eli had a good game there with the interception. But the one thing this defense really has to figure out is they've got to find a way to stop tight ends. Coming into the game, it was, all right, we can't let Antonio Brown beat us in the passing game. We can't let Le'Veon beat us in the run game. But Ladarius Green, the tight end that really missed the first half of the season for the Steelers, he shredded this defense. And that's one thing they're going to have to figure out, because Jason Witten, he's a future Hall of Famer. When you look at the Cowboys' weapons with Cole Beasley, with Terrence Williams, obviously with Ezekiel Elliott, what he can do with the football out of the backfield, it's going to be a big challenge.
I think one of the – you hit it there on the head at the end there. Ezekiel Elliott. If you can't stop Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's a little bit quicker to the hole. He has a little bit more straightaway breakaway speed. That's going to be the key of the game, if they can stop Ezekiel Elliott. And then Ladarius Green and stopping Jason Witten is another good point. The fact that, you know, they just don't seem to be getting the pressure without JPP in there, that makes that JPP injury. Hopefully he can come back a lot sooner than later. Hopefully he can come back Sunday night, because, you know, if the Giants can't stop the run, and JPP is a big part of that, it could be a very, very long night.
The good news, Giants remain, destiny is in their own hands, and that is a very good thing. Now they just have to take care of business. But right now, what do you say we check out and see what's coming up of Giants programming this week on the MSG networks? Welcome back once again to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Back to Heinz Field we go. Check in with Paul Dottino, this time with Rashad Jennings.
Thanks again, guys. And Rashad, I guess your touchdown was one of the few highlights of this game for the Giants. A lot of things just didn't seem to click. From your perspective, what was the biggest thing that went wrong tonight?
Execution. Come down to details. And, you know, I know when we cut on the tape, It's gonna be unfortunately, you know, guys saying, you know, if we would have, you know, hit this or look here or caught this or blocked this, you know, it could have been a different game. But, you know, first of all, credit to them. It was a good defense. They did enough to come up with some big win, big plays to cause them to win the game. So, but execution, when it comes down to it, we can't turn the ball over. We have to put points up. I've said it before. If the other team has to have the ball, make sure it's by an extra point because of a field goal or a punt. And we didn't do that enough today. So that's a big part of why we didn't come up with the victory.
This was a very intense game. We talked about how it would be a playoff type of atmosphere. You got a lot of young guys on this team. As one of the leaders, I know you're trying to prepare them for these kinds of games. How do you get them to rebound after now losing a six-game winning streak?
Go right back to work. You know, go right back to work. You know, this is the NFL. You know, it's very hard to win every single game. But we've definitely put ourselves in a position to be able to fight for something in December. Everything is still right there. Obviously, we're going to have to flush this quickly because we got a big opponent coming in our hometown. So, but the guys we got and the leadership we have on this team, we throw work. At every issue. Anytime there's a problem, we throw effort at it. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
And then finally, Dallas is now coming up next week. I mean, you guys are going to want to lick your wounds for 24 hours. They always say it's a 24-hour rule. Absolutely. I'm sure you're going to be thinking Cowboys, though, real quick.
Yeah, real quick. It might be less than a 24-hour rule for me this week. But again, this is a good team. We're going to cut on the tape. We're going to learn from it. You know, offensively, you know, I think this is a good wake-up call for us. You know, and we can't depend on the defense carrying us the whole entire time. We got to put points on the board because it gets ugly out there, especially in December. So I think we're going to, like you said, lick our wounds, but we're going to come out fighting harder next week.
Rashad Jennings, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul and Rashad, thank you very much. Well, I like one thing that Rashad Jennings said right there. It's all there for us. What I don't like, he said, it's a good wake-up call for us. At this juncture in the season, I don't think we need any wake-up calls.
Well, I think everyone wants the running game to wake up, and I think the running game has been improving to this point. 14 carries, 56 yards was not a lot. You saw a burst from Perkins, who had, I think, the longest run at 18 yards. But again, Vereen coming back next week, hopefully. You hope to get a better better offensive line next week. I mean, you want to see this thing start to emerge because you're going to have to start to put 125, 150 on the ground. That helps the third downs get shorter. That helps Eli Manning, the play action. It helps everything. You need to start to see it next week and for the rest of the season.
8-4. Listen, 8-4 is a pretty good record, but we still have yet to see a complete game, offense, defense, special teams, all in one game for your Giants. Again, with a record of 8-4. All right, we've got number 13, Odell Beckham Jr. coming up. Remember, you're watching Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, your official luxury automobile of the New York Giants, right here for you on MSG. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on MSG. What do you say we now go right back to Heinz Field and Odell Beckham Jr. at his locker?
I'm sure you expected this offense to score more points. What do you think held you guys back tonight?
It's just what we're doing. We need to do more. Like I've been saying, we got to find a way to score more points than 14 points, 20 points, 21 points, and help our defense out. So we're just not scoring enough.
What's your level of concern with the offense 12 games into the season? As Ben said, you can't find consistency.
I feel like we've been pretty consistent. It's been the same thing to me all year. You know, scoring around 20. Not really much has changed. We just didn't come away with the win today.
Odell, how can you explain, you know, in the first half, you only had one target officially and 15 in the second half. Why the massive disparity?
I don't know. I'm not the one to ask for that. I have no idea.
Do you still think that there is another gear for this offense? Or are you getting...
Yeah. I think everything will gel. It'll all click at some point. It needs to be very soon, like next week or tomorrow or the next day. Either way it goes, it needs to be very soon, especially with the team that we have coming in. They're red hot. So we need to step it up a notch in every which way. We just got to do a better job to help our defense out.
I think you posted something about you and Antonio.
Yeah.
You know, was that from yesterday? Or?
Yeah. I got a chance to go see him and just spend some time with him. You know, that's like a brother to me. I love watching him play. I love watching him celebrate. I love seeing him just smile, have fun. It's great. You know, you want to be great, and others who want to be great inspire you. And he's a guy who inspires me. So it was cool to come here at Pittsburgh and watch him do his thing. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, we lost, but hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Like, what'd you think of admired his touchdown?
I didn't admire the points going on the board, but I admire him. So it's a tough balance. You know, I would have, you know, liked for him to score next week and not this week. But I mean, the guy's great. He's one of the best in the league. Day in and day out. So he came and he did the same.
All right, so let me ask the all-time receiver for the Giants this question. You admire opponents you play, but not just Odell Beckham Jr. Is there just too much admiration for fellow opponents in this league now as opposed to when you were playing?
That's a tough question. I think there is. I mean, one thing I admire is winning more than anything else. And I admire when a group of guys go into a field and we come away, we can all hold our heads up high because we all won. If the other guy plays well, I tip my hat to him, but I'm not going out of my way to make sure he feels all warm and fuzzy after the game at all. I want my team, I want my organization to feel warm and fuzzy. And that's not what the Giants felt after tonight's game.
I couldn't imagine you and Terrell Owens trading jerseys and signing them after the 49ers beat us. I couldn't imagine that happening.
Or going out to dinner.
Trading jerseys with T.O. after 49ers beat us.
It just wouldn't happen.
It's a different time.
Different time.
Yeah. Times now with social media, everybody's friends. And now with free agency, hey, you might be on a team with the guy 1 year, or the next year you're playing against each other, and the next year your teammates. So it's a totally different – these young kids are different. You know, I mean, they're all – they communicate differently. I mean, back when we played, we didn't talk to the other guy. Maybe you said hi to him on the field before, but maybe in the off season you'd hang out. But
he's trying to take money off you.
You hated
hang
those
out
guys.
With somebody you play with.
He's trying to.
It's a totally different aspect of it. But you know, for Odell, I tell you, he was smiling when Antonio Brown caught that touchdown because he said, all right, I'm going to have my shot to do
that's
that.
That's how I looked at it also.
And he didn't get that chance.
Right.
And I think Eli said something real quick at the podium today. He said, I wanted to get to Victor Cruz. I just didn't get through my second and third progressions. Now, to me, when I hear that, that means that he didn't have enough protection. He wasn't able to get through his reads. And we saw that a lot. He forced a lot of throws to Odell. The ball came out earlier than Eli wanted to a lot today. And a lot of those throws were sprayed and misfires because of that.
All right. Well, stay right where you are. We'll come back and wrap this baby up. But right now, a reminder for you folks. Don't forget that it is this Tuesday night, this time at 10 p.m. on MSG+. It's Giants Live featuring the one and the only Damon Snacks Harrison.
I love that every time I go to work, I get to see the four Super Bowl trophies every day. That's everybody's goal when you started playing this game to win the Super Bowl. Time to get ready for Pittsburgh.
All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, everybody, as we get ready to wrap things up here on the Giants Post Game Live show on MSG. There, guys, you see the schedule remaining for the Giants. And listen, none of it is easy, but the good news, as we said before, Giants' destiny is in their own hands. If they take care of business, they will be in the postseason.
They got to be more physical, Russ. And I think the Steelers, they were a much more physical team. And the Cowboys are even more physical than the Steelers. So for the Giants, they've got to get back to stopping the run. We mentioned it earlier on the show with Ezekiel Elliott. First and foremost, slow him down and then put pressure on Dak Prescott.
It's a one-game season, guys. Not a four-game season. It's a one-game season. One game at a time. Vereen back next week, hopefully. Justin Pugh back hopefully next week. Better offense. Hope to see the entire unit work together, all the three-headed monsters of the receiver, and defense find a way to shut those tight ends down the seams. You got to do that, or else you'll lose next week, too.
I think they need to stop the run next week. Their offensive line needs to come back a little bit stronger. I think Flowers needs to have a resurgence towards the end of this year if this team is going to do anything, and Eli has to be able to be more accurate and hit multiple receivers other than just Odell Beckham Jr.
They got to start fast. Yep. Right, 2 weeks in a row, they've started out really slow.
Not only start fast, but we've been waiting now. It's 12 games into the season. We still, as we said, haven't seen that complete game from the Giants' offense, defense, and special teams. I think if they get that, that will boost them the rest of the way into the season. Folks, again, our next game, of course, is Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys, 8:30 p.m. And then you're going to be followed by Giants Post Game Live for you here on MSG. But next week is a little different. Next week, it's going to be on MSG+. So for everybody here, my guys, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, and Imani Toomer, I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of Giants Post Game Live. Once again, the Giants win streak comes to an end at 6. They lose 24-14 to the Steelers in Pittsburgh. We will see you next week. Have a good one.